Let me pray. Father, we just thank you. Great topic. You've given us so many good things to talk about, to think about. You've given us so many opportunities to live out the Christian life in ways that glorify you. And you've given us ways to be mindful of you in every area of our life. And we want this to be one of them, even though for many here it's yet a far future event. We want to be thinking about those things and deliberate in our preparation. And perhaps even looking at how it applies to us today from the reverse standpoint. So help us in all these discussions. In Christ's name we pray, amen. New topic today, we're working our way through the odds and ends. And I find as I get into these topics, I change the titles. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. I started off saying, how to deal with your kids as adults. I thought, that's bad. It sounds like there's a problem. How do you deal with them? And so I made it relating to your kids as adults. And this one I started off saying, how to be a good grandparent. And after going through it, I decided to call it the joys, opportunities, and challenges of being a grandparent. Kind of a little more nuanced approach, as it were. Now, we can ask the same question here that I asked about dealing with relating to your kids as adults. This is a even farther future event for a great many of you, though there are some of us who have grandkids, of course, already, and some who may never have them. But the ones that are going to get there, and it's a ways off, why in the world would I be taking time out of a class that seems to have gone on forever to want to talk about this? And I think there are good reasons, obviously, or I wouldn't be doing it. But again, I will do as I did last time. Do you all have any guesses as to why this might be a good idea to talk about this? Or do you think it's a good idea to talk about it? Maybe you don't think it is. Yeah. Any thoughts before we get into this, just to get our minds sort of warmed up? And what?
Make things easier or harder depending on what's going on.
Yeah. So you're seeing that already in your current situation and thinking about yet future kind of thing.
Notice in our family, just with my sisters and Karen's siblings, how different the relationships are when the kids and the grandparents live close by and when they're 12 hours away. Just the dynamics, how that changes.
Yeah, that does make a difference, doesn't it? Well, another thought that I had too, in addition to what you all have already brought up, is the fact that what we see coming down the road can or should have an impact on what we do today. And we talk a lot about and think a lot about raising our kids to be good adults, good people. But do you ever think about raising your kids to be good parents? And I mean, that's part of being good people, I guess. But I mean, you know, you're parenting so that they can parent in turn. And maybe even so that they parent so that their kid parent in turn. You know, you're passing down through the generations kind of idea. And so if you have that in view as you're raising your kids, I think it will impact at times, maybe not super radically, but I think it will from time to time, it will impact things that you say and do with your kids that you can only do now that you won't have a chance to do later. And we'll see some of those, I think, as we get into it. Once again, this topic, I have to say, is, you know, when I first looked at this, I thought, I just don't know how much I have to say about this. This always happens. It's like a vicious cycle. And then I get into it, and at first it's real hard. I'm like, yeah, I just can't think of anything. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I pray about it a lot. You know, before I even get started, I say, Lord, just open my mind up to think about this and, you know, help me find the scriptures, help me think about this. And it's like all of a sudden, it's like a volcano erupts. And suddenly I've got so many things. I think, gosh, I can't believe how much there is to say about this. So here we go. This is going to be more than 1 week. let's get started. So we're going to start with, we said joys, opportunities, and challenges. We're going to start off focusing on the joys and opportunities. And like we have in so many of the sections and topics that we've dealt with, we always like to start where we can, looking, kind of surveying the scriptural data. The scripture has some things to say about grandparenting, not a huge volume of things, but They're mentioned in various ways, and I thought it'd be worth us taking a look at that to begin with, right? Start with the scriptures. So we've spent much of this class reflecting on what may be one of the biggest physical blessings that the Lord will give us in this life. That's our children. And in the very beginning of the class, we look at a well-known Psalm, Psalm 127, which talks about how sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Now, what would a warrior be without arrows, right? In that day. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Kids are a blessing. So we've seen that. But now we're going to see, and we're going to spend time reflecting on another great blessing. And this is one that God gives us through our children. And we see this in Proverbs 17, where it says, grandchildren are a crown of the aged. What does a crown do? It shows the significance of a person. It points to their position and status, in a sense, and as those privileged to have children of children. It's a wonderful thing. Though there are challenges, as we will eventually see. Well, as our grandchildren are a blessing to us, like that scripture just told us, we in turn can be a blessing to them. So again, just like we said with the adult kids, it's a two-way street. It's not that they're totally a blessing for you and you do nothing for them, or vice versa. There's a mutuality there that's very important to think about and to notice. So what are some of the ways that we benefit grandkids? Well, grandparents serve as a direct personal connection between their grandchildren and significant events in what now may seem to the grandkids to be the distant past. To us who've lived through it, doesn't seem so distant. You know, 1980 seems like yesterday to me, and there are people here who weren't even born in 1980. So time gets away, but there's a connection there. And I think we see this illustrated in what the Lord said to Moses. We could probably think of some other examples, but this really jumped out at me. You know the story. At the time of the Exodus, God was getting ready to send Moses into Pharaoh. And we won't turn there and everything. I'll just give a little bit for context. God says to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs among them. You remember what God did, the 10 plagues and all that took place so that his people could be delivered from slavery in Egypt, right? We all know that story. But then there's this rather curious phrase right there in the middle that we might not pay attention to if we weren't thinking about this topic. It says, he's going to do these signs. He's telling them what's going to happen. A big deal is about to happen. God's about to do a great series of works. And he says, one of the purposes he gives, that you may tell your children and grandchildren. Wow. How I dealt harshly with the Egyptians, how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord, and by implication, it seems, that your children and grandchildren may know that I am the Lord. So you become the connection. Moses is going to live through this. Moses is going to be there to see, an eyewitness, to see what's going on, see God at work. And by the time the grandchildren come along, that's going to be something in the distant past. And they're going to have to be told about that. And that's a significant thing. We don't want to let that drift off, that memory or that event drift off into history and nobody ever hear about it. Those things need to be remembered. And the grandparents are in a fantastic position to do that. And I know we all have history books, and especially with the internet, we can all go back and read about things and look it up. It doesn't get lost completely, but there's something about having been there. There's something about that. And, you know, even just think about in our current situation, your parents can tell you, can tell kids certain things that they didn't know that were in the past. Like, you know, as parents today, you can tell your kids about a time when there was no internet or iPhones. You know, what was life like without the internet, without, or whatever kind of phones, smartphones, you know. But maybe the grandparents can tell them what it was like to live in a house without indoor plumbing or something, or, you know what I'm saying, you know, or And before that, you know, I think about my grandparents. They lived at a time when there were no cars, and there were so many things that there was no television and so forth. And just historical events, the significant historical events. 9/11 is now, most of you remember it, but probably all of you, but that will soon become an event of the past, and who knows, you know, about it. Or I go all the way back, you know, the assassination of JFK or the, you know, some of the wars that were fought. So just a lot of things that were happening in the world. How, you know, the 60s, what happened during that time period and things that went on. Having lived through that and seen that, you can tell about it from a personal perspective. And there's a value in that. There's a value in that for your grandkids. So as a grandparent, you serve in a really important role. Yeah.
For example, my daddy, who is 92, was 19 when he went over to the war, and he was just saying how there was somebody on the news that was 91 and was talking about World War. He said, I can tell you that he went to this, he recruited here, and that he was 18 instead of 19, so he went to Oklahoma and he got in the 45th, and then he went over to Germany and he was captured by the bad one.
Yeah.
You know, this just because of his age.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, because he was 91 and Daddy was 92, and he was the cutoff of the 19 instead of the 18. So he was laughing about that just the other day. And
man.
There's just not very many World War II veterans left.
There's really not. Yeah. We're losing them. And it's a lost treasure in many ways. You know, it's going to happen. But it's great that we treasure those things and value them while they're with us. So, yeah, that what a great example that is. Yeah. So, another benefit. Grandparents are often used by God to point their grandchildren to the gospel. I mean, this kind of almost goes without saying, but I never want to let it go without saying. You talk about significant historical connections and events. What greater significant historical event is there than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and God's salvation of us. And so we see this, for example, when Paul talks to Timothy. I know most of us are familiar with this text where he alludes to the fact that that Timothy's grandmother is mentioned specifically, Lois, by name, and then also his mother, as the ones who had faith themselves and then passed that down to Timothy. And by implication, it would seem that maybe the dads in both these cases may not have been a believer, it would seem, since he mentions the moms and grandmother. But whatever the case. So we focused a lot on, as parents, wanting to get the gospel across to your kids. Well, that concern doesn't go away when you become a grandparent. And hopefully you're working in tandem with your kids to reach the grandkids with the gospel. Sometimes, and we're going to review some of these kinds of scenarios, sometimes you may even be trying to work around your kids and getting to your grandkids with the gospel. If your kids ended up rejecting the gospel, we hope that doesn't happen. But if it happens, you still are going to try to reach the grandkids, right? Big deal. Big deal. There are a lot of sayings about grandparents and grandkids. I like this one. Says, if I had known how wonderful it would be to have grandchildren, I would have had them first. It's a cute saying. But I really noticed this, by the way. Have you noticed that if you go to a T-shirt store or you're looking over a catalog of crocheted sayings, so many of them are about grandparents and grandkids, aren't they? I mean, it just seems like it's a really, really big topic. And I think there's a reason for that. There's a special relationship there. Even in our decadent society, we still sort of recognize that at some level. And it's a real blessed thing. As a grandparent, you get to experience many of the same joys you had in parenting children, but without many of the downsides of parenting. That's what makes the saying have punch to it. I would have the grandchildren first, you know. What do I mean by that? I think you probably can figure it out, but let me just spell it out for you. A couple of things came to mind. There's probably other aspects of this we could talk about or point to. But for one thing, as a grandparent, you don't have to be the heavy. That's the best term I could come up with. You don't have to be the heavy when it comes to discipline. Now, I'm not saying grandparents shouldn't or can't discipline grandkids. They can play a role in that. And, of course, that's something that gets worked out between the grandparents with their kids and all that sort of thing. But But they, regardless of what you work out, I think you're going to find in the majority of cases, the natural flow of things is that as a grandparent, you're not on the front lines when it comes to discipline with the kids. And the other thing is, you're not on call 24/7. You can enjoy being with the grandkids for a time, and you can give them back to their parents, right? Well, how many times have we done this, you know? That we love to have the grandbaby over, and it's been kind of cool, and then just right toward the end of the night, she's starting to get cranky, and you know, and then along come mom and dad, well, here she is, we had a great time, thank you, good night. And they got to take that kid home and settle it down and so forth. I mean, that doesn't always happen, but you know what I'm saying. So you can, you know, they always say you can give them back. So you get to have them for a while and enjoy them, and you can frame things in such a way that it's really focused time and enjoyable time. And, you know, a parent, you don't have that luxury. You're on call 24/7, basically, is the way I put it here. Morning, even, convenient, inconvenient, doesn't matter. You're always on call. So some advantages there. And yet you get a lot of the benefits of parenting. You're a significant influence in their life. You have a special relationship with them. You're not just anybody to them. And there's a certain kind of a familial, family kind of a love that exists there. It's very similar to parental love, but even maybe in a more special category. So there's just so many things that are benefits there without having some of the downsides. I like this little expression. This is not commonly known, but I love it. The reason grandchildren and grandparents get along so well is they have a common enemy. A little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing there. I don't take that too seriously, but who would that common enemy be? Think about that for a minute. Hang on. Get back here. All right. There is a certain amount of built-in friction in the parent-child relationship. It just is. Now, we've said a lot about, and I don't want to take a word of it back, about what a blessing it is to be a parent and how, especially, you know, we hope to do things right and have harmony and things going well in general and so forth. But in spite of all those efforts, we do live in a fallen world. Our kids are sinners. We are sinners. And consequently, we have some friction that comes in as a natural part of the relationship. For example, a good parent, if you're going to be a good parent, and you have to do this, a good parent has to hold their kids accountable day in and day out. And you're the one that's got the track record. So somebody else may be annoyed by something the kid's doing now, but that's kind of a one-off first-time thing or whatever maybe for them. Parents have to see it every day, and they have to remind their kids, Johnny, what do we talk about when it comes to doing blah, blah, blah? Susie, do you remember when your mom and I told you about blah, 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 blah? What are you doing, Susie? Are you back? You know, and that just creates kind of a, you know, a friction. You got to do it. You know, there's just no way around that. You'd be a bad parent if you didn't, but there it is. And because you're around your kids all the time, you can't help but see each other's warts. We're all sinners. Our kids see us in our good moods and our bad moods, when we're tired, when we're zoned out, when we lost our temper. And we see them, oh Lord, we see them at their worst and their best. And so you just get to be a certain amount of built-in agitation, maybe. I struggle for the word there, because I don't want to characterize the relationship between parents and children as being a bad thing. But I'm trying to get an idea here that, well, there's a contrast between what happens with parents and grandparents. That's where we're headed here. So grandparents, I would say, are in a position to avoid this kind of, here I use the word baggage, with their grandkids, and have more unrestrained affection and respect for each other. Consequently, grandparents are sometimes in a better position to express sympathy and sometimes get a better hearing from the grandkids than the parents. And this can even kind of stir resentment if you think about it the wrong way. If you're the parent, you're the enemy, so to speak. You're in the middle. It's like, man, the grandparents have this kind of special relationship. Oh, granddad or grandma, you know, that's so wonderful, you know. And it's like, mom and dad, yeah. They're just kind of out of sorts there, or what have you, sometimes. Well, I'll tell you two stories. My wife has a friend by her age, actually a little older than us, and this lady has two daughters, and the two daughters have each have a son. And the two daughters have very different personality types. And one of the daughters is a real super high control kind of person. She's got to control everything. And she is constantly putting all kind of controls and restraints and everything on the son, to a point where the son feels like he's in a straitjacket about half the time. So when my wife's friend, who's the grandmother, when grandma gets with him, she doesn't let him do bad things, but she'll tend to let up a little. She gives him a little more freedom when it's just him over her house, and she gives him freedom in her house, because that's, you know, again, I'm not saying she's violating, like, lets him do something the parents would disapprove of or something, but this parent is so tight, they would almost disapprove of anything. And so that's one relationship. The other daughter is more easygoing and has a son, and the grandmother has a great relationship with that son as well. So she has a great relationship with both the grandkids. She has a lot of, she gets to hear a lot of things. She gets a lot of input with each of the grandsons. In the case of the high control mom, the high control mom resents the nice relationship that grandma has with the grandson, and she's always sort of irritated by it. In the case of the other daughter, she has her difficulties with the son, but her and grandma are like allies working together. And so grandma will say, you know, I heard from so-and-so, and she'll, I don't know if she betrays a confidence, but, you know, she'll let her know about some things that she's become aware of through her relationship that the parent didn't know, and they kind of work together on it. They see themselves as sort of teaming up. Does that make sense? And it's almost like, I hate to characterize it this way because this could have a bad connotation, but I'll go ahead and do it and with qualifications. Have you ever heard the idea of good cop, bad cop? You know, you have a couple of police officers who are doing an interrogation of a suspect or what have you, and one approach that's sometimes taken to try to extract more information from the interrogation is you send one policeman in there, and this policeman is brutal and mean. It's, you know, just makes the person being interrogated just, you know, on edge and upset. And not like the policeman at all. And then so that policeman leaves the room, and the good cop comes in, and he's real laid back, and he kind of befriends him, and he's going. And because the other guy was so bad, it's such a contrast with the good guy that the person being interrogated tends to be a lot more open than they would have normally been if it's just been regular. You know, you see what I'm saying? So in a kind of in a funny way, the grandparent-parent relationship can almost sort of be like that. You know, you follow what I'm saying on that? It's just this. So view that, or try to view that, as a benefit rather than something to get jealous of. Or because it's understandable in a way. You know, you it's like, yeah, well, you've got a great relationship with them. You weren't there when they did this and this and this, and you haven't gone to. Yeah, they haven't. But that's okay. You know, that's why you're there. And don't resent that. Don't regret that. That's something I would say about this whole relationship thing. All right, let me get to our questions. And we got much more to say on this, but I got to shift gears. Next time we're going to look at the challenges, and there are many, to being grandparents. Before we get to the challenges, I want to just kind of be able to, we look at the joys and we've looked at some of the opportunities. And we'll see yet more of those. But let's just stop and visit about these. So here's some questions to stimulate thought. And again, you are welcome to take us in whichever direction you want to go related to this topic. But here's some questions. Has this discussion about the possibility of you becoming a grandparent in the future given you a new perspective in how you want to go about raising your kids today? If so, how? I mean, maybe we've all, obviously I'm not telling you something that's rocket science that you never dreamed about, that you would someday be a grandparent, but just really making it, hopefully, this tangible and getting you to think about your kid today becoming a parent and you being a grandparent, maybe that puts a different perspective on things. And I'd be curious to hear if any of you maybe are beginning to experience that, and maybe you'll experience it more as you go away from the class. So that's one question. As a parent, have you sometimes struggled with being jealous of the relationship that your kids have with your parents? So this is one of these things, you know, we can apply it actually three ways. You can look at this yet future when you're the grandparent. You can look at it today if you're, as you're the parent, and then, you know, being in the middle of that triangle, so to speak. And you can even think about it in terms of your own relationship with your own grandparents, right? So there's actually almost a three-way application here. We're mostly focusing on you becoming grandparents. This is all directed at that. But there's always the overflow of that. And one of them would be here, the idea of you being in the middle and feeling that tension that, that my wife's friend experienced. Do you experience that? And if so, has this discussion about that maybe changed your perspective a little bit? I'd be curious to know if that does. And are you looking forward to becoming a grandparent, assuming that God allows? You know, there's no guarantee, even if you have kids, that you're going to have grandkids. We'll talk about that next time. I think it's one of the challenges. Because we tend to look forward to that. Are you looking forward to that, though? I know some people, just grandparenting just comes as natural as can be. It fits like a glove that fits well on the hand. You know, it just comes and it just works. And other grandparents seem obtuse and like they don't even want to be grandparents. They're not interested. And that's sad, you know. That really is. But it happens both ways. And, of course, everything in between, obviously. But so what about you? Are you seeing this as a positive time that you're looking forward to? Is it going to be a time when you will have to make some changes and have to have certain mindsets at that time? We're going to talk about those. Otherwise, it will not be as much of a blessing as it could and should, I think. So that's why I'm just kind of asking this question, see if that stirs things up. Something else I said maybe that brought a thought to your mind or something you want to challenge, whatever. What do y'all think? Because we got lots of, lots of time today. Of course, that usually it's kind of like when we notice that when we live real close to a place, we tend to be late a whole lot more than if we live real far away from the place. Have you noticed that? It seems like it's be the opposite. You think if you live far away, it takes longer to get there, so you're going to be late. No, because you plan better when you live far away. You live close, think, oh, just right down the street, I'm going to be there in 2 seconds, you know. So if we have plenty of time to talk, it seems like that's when we run over, but that's okay. We'll try to watch it. Thoughts?
Well, I'll get us started here.
All right, good.
I think it speaks toward the marvelous complexity or depth, I should, maybe depth is a better word, of God's plan of redemption, that it all doesn't happen in one generation.
Yeah.
But that his plan is to be experienced and expressed through multiple generations. And the covenant made with Abraham, you know, he died.
Yeah.
Well before the people came to the promised land.
Yeah.
400, 500 years before.
Yeah.
But this is for you and your offspring after you.
Yeah.
So I take comfort from knowing that God's work in my grandparents' lives is continuing to flesh out through how he worked through my grandparents with my parents, and then my parents with me, and me with my kids, and so forth. So it's, I would hope that it should humble us to know that the plan of redemption does not revolve around our little generation.
Yeah, it does make us realize that what God is doing is so much bigger than us. I mean, again, it's sort of a no-brainer, but
yeah.
We can easily forget that and be very sort of self-focused and that sort of thing. You know, you also bring to mind another thing I might could have asked you all about. Does anybody have a story about a grandparent between you and your grandparent you'd like to share? I mean, you might even have one that you'd like to share just as an example, some of the things we're talking about, just as a specific. Yeah.
So my mom's parents were very strict to her, but my relationship with her as a grandparent was great because the rules that they set in place, we actually still follow to this day. It's really weird. And but they weren't really strict on us. It was just they had rules and we followed them.
Yeah.
And she taught me some ways, like to help me spell that I still use to this day, things like that. And it was like that good cop, bad cop kind of thing. Like she was the good cop in my life, but
yeah.
She was the bad cop in my mom's life.
Yeah.
So.
That could happen. I have seen that a lot. And that's interesting too.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who. But for whatever reason, I mean, you know, and it may have been some degree good for your mom, or who knows, but you know, I'm not trying to comment on that, but yeah, just to think that that could be different with you. That's just the nature of grandparents. But even in the case of like, now I'll share one story with you myself, just briefly, is that my wife came from a broken marriage at a time when there weren't so many broken marriages. Nowadays it's like, yeah, part of life, you know. But back when my wife and I were younger, at least the kind of neighborhoods I grew up in, I hardly knew a kid with divorced parents. I knew a few, but not very many. It was pretty rare. She came out of one of those broken homes, and for a while her mom was trying to land on her feet, and she ended up being put under the care of her grandmother, who was more old school, stricter, and she might have been even a little bit of the bad cop because she had to live with her day to day. She's like a parent, basically, for just a season. And to this day, my wife will tell you that many of her strongest values and things that she cherishes most in terms of the way she thinks about that. I mean, her grandmother wasn't a believer, so that wasn't included. But I just mean in terms of just day-to-day discipline and things like that. A lot of that came from her, the short time that she was being raised by her grandmother. So even that can happen, you know, that's kind of a neat example. Other, again, stories or comments on any of these questions? Yeah, LaShawn.
Kind of have an answer to one question that kind of answers the other question.
All right, which question?
All right, the middle question about a struggle with being jealous of the relationship. It's not a struggle of jealousy of the relationship that I have a problem with. It's whenever you see perhaps played out this idea of the grandparent is allowed to spoil the grandchildren at the expense of what the parents are trying to train.
Yeah.
The children in. And so, in that regard, are you looking forward to become a grandparent? Yes, because in the same way that as a single, I was looking at those around me that were starting to have kids of my age, soaking up things that they were doing and thinking, okay, I see things that I like, I see things that I don't necessarily like and that I have to learn how to avoid and kind of preparing myself in that way. I also now kind of look forward to grandparenting in such a way that it's like, okay, I see things that I like, I see things that I don't like, and I also see it in some ways areas that as a grandparent I want to be able to honor my children by trying to uplift their authority and be an extension of their authority in my grandkids.
Yeah.
So that it's a matter of, okay, I need to understand that my kids are not necessarily going to raise their kids in the same way that I did. Ideally, they're going to be taking the things that we did well and implementing them, if there's any of that.
Yeah.
And the things that we didn't do so well, they're improving on.
Sure.
And so to try and sit here and go, well, whatever you're doing, I don't care. When your kids are with me, I'm just, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Or
yeah.
We're gonna feed them whatever sugar we want to, even if you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a huge problem with that. For me, that gets into the realm of disrespect and not showing honor to your children for the way that you raised them to be the way that they are now.
You make a good point there. And I don't know that I particularly gave emphasis to that. But that, yeah, the good cop relationship, so to speak, can be, or the adversarialness of that can be sort of overplayed on the part of the grandparents in a bad way. I mean, the story I told, really, the grandmother that's my wife's friend, she really has the best interest of the parent in both cases at heart. So I gave a good example, try to focus on that. But you're right. I mean, there are some grandparents who even sometimes almost play off the grandkid against the parents. Like, you know, they truly are like that saying that I showed you a while ago, that they both have a common enemy. I mean, it's not just figurative. They almost become a real enemy. And that's sad because you really would want to see the two of them working in tandem. And I know a lot of that has to do with relationships and values and things like that. I mean, we as grandparents, like remember how I told you I got to raise two generations of kids, so I got to make my mistakes the first go-around, then we got another whole second chance because we had these other two kids come along, and there's such an age gap there. We're getting to do this in the grandparent realm now. I've got three granddaughters that are just about almost all grown, and we've gone through all that, and now we've got a new grandbaby that just arrived on the scene, so we're starting all over again. And this one lives nearby, which that makes a big difference. Can't always have that, but that's how it's working now. But even with this one, you know, my son and daughter-in-law, they for the most part, I love what they're doing. But every once in a while, they have certain rules. It's like, really? But we really try to honor those. It's just hard sometimes. It's like, oh, come on. You know, and some of you may even agree with what they're doing. I don't know. It's like they have this thing that they read somewhere that a baby should never see a screen until they're 2 years old. Any kind of a phone screen, a TV screen, whatever screen. Well, I mean, we're not usually trying to shove a screen in front of her anyway. We're wanting to play with her and stuff like that, the age she is now especially. But that seems like kind of a weird rule. You know, I had her sit on my lap in front of the computer one day, and my wife was like, I remember they don't want to see screens. I thought, oh, does this count? Okay, here you go. So we try to follow that. But, you know, you can see how it could sometimes in those kind of cases could be kind of challenging to the grandparents. Or if they don't have any real big dietary restrictions, but if they did, depending on what it was, I might feel a little bit like, you know, we eat food that we eat here. You know, I don't know. It's one of those things. It gets. I can see that. I can see that kind of from either end.
I don't know if it has to always be a grandparent. Some of these principles apply to, say, a grandparent figure.
True.
I had a great uncle who I learned a lot from and spent a big portion of a summer at his house as he taught me ham radio, Morse code.
Yeah.
And I as he told the war story, he was a radio operator in the war, so that was one of the best summers of my childhood.
Oh, wow.
Because of what he invested and taught me. But that wasn't my grandfather. But so, in answer to number three, I look forward to being that type of a figure, whether for my own grandchildren or by extension beyond. It's just a good thing.
That's a good point. I mean, we do tend to focus on the natural grandfather or grandmother relationship, and it's worthy of focusing on, but you're right that people can. I mean, I think I kind of see Martin playing that role a little bit with your son, you know.
Yeah,
it's like a grandfather over there.
I don't think I've verbally expressed it, but it meant a lot to our family for the Schneiders to have Eli over and to invest in him on a hobby that Eli was liking. Model trains,
yeah,
something that I know very little about. Martin knows a great deal about. And so I was able to send him over there.
That is so cool. I mean, every time when I come in the morning before I'm getting set up for class, and there's Eli down there talking to Martin, and it's involuntary. This huge smile comes across my face as I see that. It is kind of like what we're talking about in the relationship. So we can, in a sense, be that grandfather figure even for one another in the church sometimes. That's worthy of thinking about for sure.
Glad you. I stood on my front porch. If I looked left, there's my mom's parents. If I looked right, there's my dad's parents.
Wow.
So we grew up running back and forth because they were right there across the road.
Man.
With both sets of grandparents. And just this week, my sisters and Lindsay's mom is our bonus sister. She's got both grandparents in common, too. We're talking about, oh, if I could just go back to this grandparent's house and do this and eat this and her saccharine tea and...
Yeah.
And then at our other grandparents, we would do this and this and this. And my sister said, oh, tears. And my cousin said, I'm cooking and I have a lump in my throat. And I was sitting there all choked up.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Having our grandparents.
That is a rare privilege. And especially more nowadays than ever. It seems like we're so mobile. And, I mean, I have to play guilty, too, because my mom resented us. We moved away from there. They still live in Arizona where they raised us. Of course, they moved away from their parents, but, you know, not that that's why we did it.
My kids moving away. Don't you know
your grandkids? You know, and all of our kids have moved away except for one, and we're obviously in some ways closer to them, and we love them all. And some the others we keep up to varying degrees of good or not so great. But, yeah, but to have them all there and have them all still alive, you know, like I didn't. My dad's side, both his parents were dead before I was born. In fact, I think they waited for his mom to die before they got married because she was so sick and ready to die, and his dad had died years earlier. So I never knew them. And then on my mom's side, her dad had already died, I think, because her mom had remarried and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, but just the idea of having two natural grandparents living right there across in that close vicinity, that sounds wonderful.
My grandparents were old. In those days, they don't have gray hair yet.
Yeah.
Grandparents.
Well, they might, and they're just dying it or something. Yeah, we've noticed that too. You know, that people don't. there's a sort of a shame with being old nowadays, it seems like. And you know, and my mom's guilty of it worse than anybody. She did not want to be called grandma because that sounds old to her. So she kept with Graham. I don't know how that's any better, but somehow that was better. No, I'm Graham. I'm not grandma. I said, okay, you're Graham. Good. And she didn't want to be seen as old. And I know that, you know, Sandy and I think about, like, I mean, we're both over 60 now. And I think about people I knew when I was younger that were 60. They were like 1 foot on a banana peel and 1 foot in the grave, you know. And and I mean, we could die tomorrow, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I feel like, you ever heard that one? I feel like we're in a lot better health, and I don't know if I'd say I was ashamed of being old, but I fight against being old a lot more. And we have a lot more means to fight against it. We have better medical care. We have the benefit of a lot of, you know, control over our food and so forth. I don't know. Anyhow, yeah. Other thoughts?
I'll be brutally honest.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to being a grandparent right now. I don't know if that's because I don't like small babies. If that's because, like, I just started my job as a parent, so I'm not looking forward to retirement yet. I got to focus on my job right now.
Sure. Well, that could change by the time you get there. And even if you don't like small babies, of course, that worries me because you've fixed them to have two of them. But that's different, right? Well, you may find it's different with your grandkids, too. You might not like small babies, but when they're your grandkids, I mean, I'm kind of like you. I'm not a real baby person. I'm really not. And if you try to hand me your baby, I'm like, that's okay. You know, I'm just not into that. My wife is the opposite of me. But my grandbaby, well, I don't hold her as much as my wife, I will say. But she is a cutie, I got to say. I mean, my heart just melts when I see her. So it's a little different. Yeah, give us some time. And plus, they do grow up. You know, they don't stay babies. So it's worth thinking about, too. Yes?
I feel like being an aunt is kind of a little bit of practice for being a grandparent. Because you do have that opportunity to, you know, kind of spoil, I guess this is where,
sure,
you know, you can pass them off as diapers dirty if you want. You know?
Yeah.
No, thank you. But I do think, and maybe we'll get into it more when it gets to, like, some of the challenges, but I think just communication is so important on,
yes,
every level. Because I know that, like, my mom was actually a good buffer between her parents and us. Her parents are very, or at least more so when I was growing up, but they're really refined, urbane, you know, they just, so when I would go to their house, like, my grammar would get corrected, and I would get boxed if my elbows were on the table, you know, mm-hmm, like, they had, you know, you did not wear a hat in their house.
Mm. your husband is remembering that, yeah.
Sure, like, do not wear a hat. But now, like, and they have mellowed a lot with great grandkids. And but my mom was a good buffer. She was like, you know, and now with my kids, my granddad was a pediatrician, and so he's always like the screen time, like, tell her two or never.
Yeah.
And they're very smart, and they're very like, they would. I would be in college, and they would send me an article about weight loss, and, you know, like,
yeah,
my mom was a good buffer. She's like,
yeah, yeah,
they just learned. They, you know, they're just kind of trying to pass on information.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I know about that kind of thing.
It, but, you know, don't let it hurt your feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that having my mom for helping communicate between, and and now with my mom being a grandparent, communicating with her, like, I do want you to do this, but I don't want you to do that. And,
yeah. Let's
communicate to my child when we go home. I know Grandpa sometimes says things. We don't repeat that.
Right, right.
So, just communication across the board.
Yeah, we will take a closer look at that in next week or so, however long this ends up going. but that's one of the challenges. And the parents, that, you know, the in-between of the triangle, as I called it, they can do a lot to help and they can do a lot to hurt. And I've seen both of them played out. And you can have the best grandparents in the world, and you have a parent that blocks it or creates an issue there. Lots of things can happen. But then, like what you got here, where you've got the grandparents a little bit rough around the edges and the parents, you know, trying to buffer. And my mom tried to play that role with my grandmother. I honestly, don't have any good grandparent stories to tell you, because first of all, I didn't know two of them, as I told you, and then the one natural grandma that I knew, I honestly intensely disliked her. I thought she was a very selfish person, and she was. And I never got to like her, unfortunately. My mom did everything she could. She used to buy presents for us in my grandmother's name. Say, this is from grandma. And I don't think some of those were actually from my grandmother. Maybe a little bit dishonest. But anyhow, she wanted so much for us to connect with her mom. She loved her mom. And but she was never quite able to do that, unfortunately. but anyhow, yeah, your mom was able to do that as a testament to her, and it's great. And I'm glad that you're sort of, in a sense, following in her footsteps. Yeah.
You mentioned Eunice and Lois.
Yes.
And your suspicion that the fathers and the grandfather probably weren't believers. And yeah. Was it Timothy who needed to get circumcised to go with the missionary journey?
Yeah.
It shows that, you know, we can have different experiences with who the Lord gives us as our parents and our grandparents. And in this particular case, you probably had a Jew and a Greek,
yeah,
who married, and then Timothy was born, and so he's got the cultural expectations of the Greeks and
yeah,
everything there, and the Jew. So it, maybe it'll come with the challenges discussion, but I also come from a broken home. My parents got divorced, and trying to explain to my kids some of the sins of past generation, and my grandparents got divorced as well. Trying to teach honor and respect, and yet also this is sin, and God will be judge, and it's a big challenge. So I look forward to the next discussion as well.
Yeah, and that, and maybe that y'all give me ideas too of things I might need to throw in. Not that I don't have so much already, but that is a good discussion. We do live in a society where there's so much of blended families and obliterated families. Like I related a while ago, when I was growing up, it happened, but it wasn't to near the degree as since, you know, the advent of no-fault divorce and just the general decadence of society has really created, you know, now you got multiple sets of half-grandparents and all this kind of jazz, you know, and it's just, wow. Yeah, that can be another mind-boggling part. Of course, again, the focus of what we're doing is primarily on you becoming a grandparent, so we're kind of looking at it as you look down the pipe, and we talk about, like, your kids possibly getting a divorce and the implications of that for you and your relationship with your grandkids. We will look at that. I don't know that I had thought about looking up at that, but
yeah,
it's the same. It would flow both ways, you know. So, yeah, that would be a good thing to mention as well. Let me watch your time now and make sure. I think we're pretty close on time. We might could get one more comment if somebody have one. Otherwise, we can just kind of maybe shock everybody and be done on time today. So if we started on time, that was good. Any other last comments that somebody wanted to...
Well, I'm glad you're doing this portion of the class.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks. I you know, it's just, it was like, it's under odds and ends, and it was, I got a way sort of an afterthought, but the more I look into it, it's like, wow, I'm glad I didn't miss this. I'm like you, I'm kind of glad that we're taking this one on. It's one of those ones that I mean, there's going to be challenges. We're going to see the challenges next week, and there's some heartbreaking situations that we have to prepare ourselves to possibly face. But All said and done, this is a wonderful thing. Grandparents and grandkids are just one of those things in our society that should make all of us feel warm. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for the great discussion. Thank you for grandparents, and for you're the one that created the idea of the family. You're the one that created all things, and especially we see, even in our fallen world, this is one of the bright spots. Yes, it is affected even by the fall, but it tends to stand out, and we're so thankful for that. And we just pray that in the case of everyone here, that they would have an opportunity to be great grandparents, that they would have a good relationship with that they would have grandkids, and they would have a great relationship with them, as well as with their kids. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.